Hey, welcome to Mentally Chill. It's that time again. I hope you guys are having a good week. And I know I'm not. Just kidding. It's been a fine week. Except I couldn't sleep at all last night. So I'm exhausted right now. But luckily, I was not exhausted recording this episode with Rye Doon. So Rye Doon is a comedian and an ex-Viner. And by that, I mean he used to be huge on Vine and do all these characters. And so we talk about using comedy as a mask to mask your sadness and that sad clown stuff. So stay tuned. And obviously, before I let you get to that, I have to say thank you to everyone on Patreon. Thank you to everyone who's been there, especially this entire time that Patreon's been up. You guys are true warriors. And I want to say thank you specifically to new Patreon people, specifically Melissa and White Fang. I know White Fang's actual name, but I only know him really as White Fang because that's how I've known him on Twitter for years now, actually, I think. So White Fang, just don't use your fangs on Melissa. That's all I ask. And to let you guys know about t-shirts and merchandise, I don't really think I do updates on the show so much about that kind of stuff. But I finally sent t-shirts out to everyone who donates $20 or more a month on Patreon. Those are in the mail, done. I'm a real adult doing real things. I can't believe it. I'm very impressed with myself. So if you guys want a t-shirt, you can head over to patreon.com/mentallychill and donate $20 or more a month, and you will get one of those fancy t-shirts, and you can see what they look like if you go to my Instagram, which is Chris Karn, which I'll actually say later on in this episode, but K-R-I-S-C-A-R-N, or you can go to the podcast's Instagram, which is @mentallychillpod. And see what they look like. But I am working on a website to be able to actually sell t-shirts. So I'm kind of blown away at how complex the whole situation for merchandise really is. But it's in the works, and so you guys will be able to purchase t-shirts in pretty much any color you want. I'm working on getting the logo to transfer to black fabric because it's very difficult right now because the logo is black and pink, and so the black doesn't show up, obviously. So I have to figure out a little bit of a new logo situation for that. And I also learned that having a logo like this one, it's very hard to stitch onto hats and beanies because it requires, like I said, stitching and not just printing. And so because there's so much fine detail, it's really impossible to get it to transfer over in a stitching form. So anyway, that's the deal with t-shirts. But if you guys want anything really specifically, like a mug or like a cell phone case, I can order that specifically for you. So you can also email me at contact@mentallychillpodcast if you want something like that. And I want you guys to enjoy today's episode. So please do. And yeah, do that.
We're recording now.
We're recording now.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
My name's Ryan.
It's Ryan. Is it Rye, though, or is it Ryan?
It's Ryan, but I'm Rye Doon online. I got stuck with that, kind of.
Why?
Rye Doon was my AIM screen name in high school.
AIM!
Yeah, rest in peace.
Wow.
And then also, rest in peace, I created a Vine channel. I didn't want to be searchable by future employers,
oh.
So I chose Rye Doon.
What's your last name? Is it really Doon?
No, it's Muldoon.
Oh.
Irish.
So you did like a halvesies name?
Yeah.
Well, my name on Instagram is Chris Karn, but my real name's Kristen Carney. But that was only because Kristen Carney was taken.
Okay.
By some nobody.
Yeah, get off Kristen Carney.
Seriously, I wonder if she just like searches and then sees me.
Right.
She's like, this bitch.
She did it out of spite. She did it against you.
She did. She was like, I'm not giving her, because I have the Twitter.
Yeah, what the fuck?
But email, there's actually a lot of Kristen Carneys.
Carney is a
terrible name.
I like it. Well, I mean, Carney, Carnival.
Right.
But there's a very wealthy family where I grew up named Carney, so.
We are definitely not related.
No?
Well, in my town where I grew up, there was a Dr. Carney.
Okay.
And my dad owned a pizzeria. You know, I was like, nope, no diet, you know.
Sweet.
My uncle owned a roast beef sandwich place. Like, it was like, we were the furthest thing from doctors, but it was always funny when I'd hear Dr. Carney.
How about LA Pizza? It's the fucking worst.
The worst.
It makes me angry, actually.
I know. Okay, so we have so much to talk about.
So much.
So aside from the name Rye, which actually, though, the Rye thing, we just met. I would never just call you Rye.
Yeah.
But it makes me feel like I'm level jumping.
because you're actually Ryan, and all of a sudden you're Rye.
Right.
Like, you're like my new bestie.
That's how I feel too.
Do you like that or dislike that?
I like it when it happens naturally, and with you it didn't happen naturally, so that's too soon.
So
could you please leave?
I'll leave, yes. But I'm taking your cat with me.
No, but I noticed that when people do start to call me Rye, my whole life is, for me, in my head, I'm like, oh, we're friends.
Yes. No, it's a weird psychological thing, because on Instagram, people will send me a message and they think my name is Chris. So they'll be like, hey, Chris. Yeah. And it's a weird, I don't like it because they're level jumping, but I do like being called Chris because it's like we're a buddy. It's like, yeah. I know I'm close with the person.
It's personable.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, psychologically, I feel like I have to respond because we're best friends.
Right.
You know, to that message or something. So this show, I wanted to talk about masking depression with comedy and other sorts of behaviors.
Sure.
And different like coping mechanisms.
Okay.
So I was watching your like a compilation of your vines.
Yep.
And you're like really high energy.
Yeah.
Which to me seems so difficult to be if you're like, how do you jump? Because I know you've struggled with depression.
Yep.
So how do you jump from being like depressed to all of a sudden being like so alive?
Well, the difficult thing is I'm really only funny when I'm happy. That's when I'm creative.
Same.
So like if I'm depressed, I don't create shit.
Same. Some people will say use the depression, use the anxiety. But yeah. When I'm in that mode, my brain feels actually shut off. I'm not funny. I'm not inspired. I feel literally nothing except sadness. But it's like a muted feeling.
And I think, so I do a lot of characters online. And I think I'm good at characters, maybe because I'm not comfortable being myself.
There we go. Yeah.
So I can snap into a character and I'm like, oh, I'm this person now.
Right.
And this person's happy.
Right.
And positive. Like I have a character named Kathy who's like,
oh, Kathys are always happy. And they're always annoying in the office, overly friendly, but also like sticklers in the same sense.
Yeah.
Kathys.
Kathy. Yeah. Kathy's very positive. She loves walk and talks. She loves gossiping with her girlfriends.
I could see her, Kathy, mall walks.
Yeah. Yeah, she would.
Yeah.
I haven't done that in a
video
yet. You
should do that.
Let's do it together.
Okay. Okay. I'll do it.
After this, in real life, not even film it?
Totally. I'll go to your meeting with you.
All right, dope.
And then I'll. Okay.
Sweet. But yeah.
So
how do I snap into, or how do I get high energy?
But no, it's not even like how you get high energy. It's how do you make the jump from all of a sudden going, like, it's such a long, tedious process for me to wake up and to be a functional, semi-normal feeling person. So I have a very slow transition into living the day.
Uh-huh.
So you wake up and all of a sudden, okay, things aren't as bad. I'm feeling happy. I should go do this. Or is it not like a manic thing, but is it like you're down and then you're up and then you're down and then you're up?
It's not really that bipolar-ish, but like for me, when I wake up, lately I've been pretty sad and highly
anxiety-ridden. And some heartbreak, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, heartbroken. Yeah. I'll wake up and my first thoughts are like, fuck.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like, lately I've been thinking like, I'm a failure. I'm going to fail. I'm not going to make it. I'm sad. I'm a sad person. My whole life has been sad.
But that's what no one would look at you as, because you are this, you have tons of followers and you're funny. And it's like,
well, thanks.
It's like that sad clown thing.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what you have? You are a little bit?
Definitely. Yeah, I can get pretty dark. And
when are you feeling the darkest?
The darkest?
Yeah.
Probably, honestly, mornings. I don't like mornings either.
Okay.
When it's nighttime, the day's done, and I'm done. That's like my me time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the day's done.
Yeah.
I can finally sit down.
I read a tweet recently that said something like my life is totally backwards. I wake up with no energy, but I go to bed totally like, you know, I mean, it was so funny the way they said it, but you know, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Like they're exhausted all day and then super awake at night, which is my entire life.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's annoying, but yeah. Tears of a clown for sure. And, that's why I got into stand up. Well, I started doing comedy. Wait, how do I say this? What made me a comedian, I think, is my mom. She's bipolar. So growing up, I put it upon myself to keep her laughing.
Yeah.
Like pretty much so she wouldn't kill herself.
Because you didn't want her mood to drop. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. What kind of fear is that? Holy shit. I mean, I just had fear that my mom would feel sad because my bed was not made. You know, but that was still a lot of fear.
Yeah. Yeah. So like her moods were way up and down. Usually just down. Yeah. So I'd just be like, hey, mom, all right. I do Ace Ventura impressions. Even as like a little boy, a high-pitched voice, like, oh, alrighty then.
She's like, this is why I'm down, by the way.
Yeah, that's
stop
very,
being Ace.
Yeah, that's a very inaccurate impression, Ryan. You're depressing me. But yeah, I would just like do faces and voices to keep her laughing.
Would you say Bumblebee Tuna a lot? Even though I know
Bumblebee
that's
Tuna.
Ace number two. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a more pet detective kind of guy.
Yes, totally. Me too.
Come
to me, jungle friends.
Come to me, my jungle friends.
Yeah.
Alrighty then. But yeah, I would do. She loved the when I did mask impressions, like smoking.
Oh yeah, like the mask. I forgot about that one.
I would also attempt to impersonate Chris Farley. I would do Mike Myers.
Oh
yeah,
oh,
baby.
Awesome Powers. Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
And she just thought it was hilarious.
Would it keep her up at all, or would it just be a she'd smile and enjoy it and then go back?
I mean, there were moments I'd come home from school and she was on the couch sleeping, but like not like a peaceful sleep.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, is she alive type of sleep?
Yeah.
In those moments, there was no getting her out of it.
Yeah. Was she on medication?
Yeah, she ended up on medication. For a while, she was not medicated and not seeing a doctor. And then when I was in high school, shit got bad. Like, she was in and out of mental hospitals and stuff.
Really?
Attempting suicide.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was good times.
Right.
I used to come home from school freshman year. And as I was unlocking the door to go inside, I don't know why the door was locked when my mom was home. That's weird. I just thought of that.
Wait, into her room?
No, so I'd come home from school, get off the bus, my front door.
Yeah, that's normal. The door has to be locked.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
But as I'm unlocking it, I'm thinking, all right, my mom might have killed herself today. Let's go find out.
That is so horrifying.
Right?
Yeah.
So fucking dark. And I just started seeing a therapist about a month ago. And
for the first time?
I saw one in high school, but I wasn't honest with him. And it was a type of therapist who didn't talk, didn't give any feedback.
I hate that. They're so more like a sponge just kind of sitting there, like maybe absorbing what you're saying. Maybe not.
Then there'd be awkward pauses. Then I'd just start talking about random shit just to fill the silence.
Yes.
And I'd walk up like, I think that helped, did it?
No.
But I'm seeing one now, and so far it's great. I started seeing her because I got in the worst depression of my life about like 2 months ago.
And this was from heartbreak.
It was normal depression. My therapist says like you had a chronic depression and an acute depression from the heartbreak. And she also thinks I got burnt out, which apparently is a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
A burnout.
Yeah.
I thought it was just an expression, but I was exhausted and like
it's not just for potheads.
Right.
Yeah.
I do smoke weed, but I was just exhausted and super stressed out.
Yeah.
And just like freaking out about my life and also thinking about suicide and stuff. So I was like, I gotta see a fucking therapist.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never had plans to kill myself. Just like suicide ideation. Is that what?
Totally. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
Just like
it's like more of the fantasy of like just not being here. That's kind of what I've experienced.
I had a lot of that like 6 months ago. Just like I'd want to disappear.
Yeah.
I just want to not exist.
Yeah.
But my latest depression, I was like, I want to kill myself.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
And you smile about it.
Yeah.
And laugh. But obviously, there's obviously so much more underneath it.
I do think it is kind of funny, like how dark people can get. It's like whoa, yeah. That's dark stuff. But like when you're in it, it's not fucking fun at all.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of crying lately.
Have you? That's awesome to admit. Good.
I feel like I've.
Dude's listening. It's okay to cry.
I thought I was always really good with my feelings. I feel my feelings a shitload. Always have.
Right.
But I think I don't process them. Very well.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
So it feels like I'm doing a lifetime of crying in the past like 3 months.
I'm so jealous of you because I cannot cry lately.
Really? I usually can't cry.
Really?
But
I think you stole my tears.
Maybe.
Yeah. Give them back. I want them because I like crying.
It feels good.
Doesn't it feel good? It's like masturbation for your eyes.
Yeah.
Like it just feels good. It's like a release.
I was trying to meditate one night recently because I was just nearing an anxiety attack, panic attack. And I was like, I got to meditate. So I went to my bedroom, started to try to meditate with this app. And then I realized.
Which app is it?
Is it Mindful?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Either, God, I always forget the name of it. And I actually, I think I block it out for a specific reason that I won't say. mindfulness? No.
I could get my phone out, but then that's bad podcast etiquette to have my phone on me.
Do you want me to look at it? At the end, we'll do it so we can call back and we'll try to remember to do it.
But yeah, I was meditating and I was...
Headspace.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right. We did it without
Google. No phone.
Just like the good old days.
Good old days.
Just like, right. Who's that actor who's in that show? I forget. Let's think about it for a few hours.
Right. Imagine being in the good old days trying to remember app names, because there were no app names in the good old days.
Exactly.
For some reason, I can't remember it. Oh, it's because apps don't exist right now.
Yeah, I just invented the concept of apps. but yeah, I was attempting to meditate. And I might be getting off subject.
Meditate. No, I've talked about meditation here.
And in my head, I was thinking too much, or I was just thinking, and I was like, "Oh, it's Monday. It's 7 p.m." Then I was like, "The last time I saw my ex, we went to a meditation class together Monday at 7 p.m."
That's so crazy you say that, because the reason I just said I like want to block out the name Headspace was because this guy that I used to be, you know, that I felt
fucked.
Well,
just kidding.
he fucked me over pretty hard, but he recommended me using Headspace, and we used it together once. And then every time after that, because you know it didn't work out, I would have like an actual panic attack thinking about Headspace and even meditating, because I was at my therapist during the process. It's a while ago now, but the therapist said, why don't we, because I was so panicky and having so much anxiety, and I was crying, and she said, let's take a minute and do some type of like meditation. Mm-hmm. And I started bawling.
Nice.
And she didn't know why that triggered me so much. And I told her why. And obviously we didn't meditate.
Right. How ironic when you're trying to relax.
I know. I'm like, that's like the one thing you can use to help yourself get out of this is the thing giving it to me.
Right.
Bullshit.
But man, I embraced those tears. It felt so good. And I kept on like thinking about the good times with my ex. We were only together for 3 months, and I feel like an idiot for falling in love with her. Is this
who you're heartbroken
stupid?
By?
Yeah.
For falling in love in 3 months?
Yeah.
No, I feel like that's if it took you longer than that, that wouldn't really make sense or something.
Okay.
You know, I think that's the span, like the magical span. But I feel, yeah, you got cut right off, like at the balls of the shaft of the span, of the love span.
We had become BFGF exclusively.
Right.
Then a week later, there was some shit that went down. We had a STD scare. She has an insane ex-boyfriend. She's dated assholes her whole life.
Yeah.
She's 26, almost 27. I'm 33. I'm the first good guy she's ever dated, apparently.
Yeah.
And her ex-boyfriend, who cheated on her like 8 times, called her one day.
Oh, no.
While we were together.
Yeah.
And he was just like, hey, to my ex. He was like, hey, just let you know I have herpes, so you got to get yourself checked.
Oh, my God.
And so then I was involved in that because I was fucking her.
Yeah.
And so we went through a really intense thing early on. Just
like,
we got to get tested.
Yeah.
Shit, we might have herpes. Long story short, we don't have herpes. And I think he might have made that up.
I feel like you wouldn't
up our relationship.
That's true. But also, I would not have told the story if it ended up me having herpes. So I knew it was going to go that direction.
Right. So long story short, I have herpes. So if any girls are listening.
Here's the big announcement.
And I have a currently, I have a breakout. No, I'm just kidding. Don't have herpes, everybody.
It's so bad I can see it through your jeans.
Yeah, it's bleeding through my jeans.
Yeah.
It looks like I have a period. So yeah, that was intense. And then I found out I didn't have herpes. Then I was like trying to communicate with her, like, I don't have it. She was being distant. All of a sudden, she got weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And she told me, she was like, I'm freaking out. I don't know if she was being honest. I like to believe this, but she's like, I can already tell I would marry you, and I'm not ready for that.
I mean, that could freak people. If they're not ready for it, could freak people out.
Yeah.
But at the same, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but at the same time, if you really want to marry someone, like, you don't lose that opportunity,
right?
Because you don't come across many people that you want to marry.
Yeah,
you know, so it's kind of like you're not going to let it just go by.
I tried. I mean, at first I accepted it. I was like, okay, I understand. She's going through a lot of shit. She's got major dad issues. For some reason, I'm attracted to girls with daddy issues.
Yeah,
maybe it's because I have mom issues. But she's going through a lot of shit right now, so she's in a bad place. But I at first I was like, okay, I understand. Goodbye. Then a week later I called her and was like, I gotta try again. It's like, it's so rare to find someone you like.
Yeah.
And we should give this a shot.
Please. Please, I'm begging you.
And I told her I loved her, which I've done twice in my life to a girl. But I really wanted to tell her that. I didn't know that I loved her until we broke up, and I was so heartbroken. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm in love.
Yeah, and it didn't. It
didn't work.
It didn't work. What'd she say?
It turns out life isn't a movie.
Doesn't that suck? It yeah. sucks because when I was a kid, I was like, when I grow up, life's going to be a movie. And yeah. I remember thinking, when I'm 28, because I'm 34 now, but I remember thinking, I'm going to be the best 28-year-old because yeah. I'm going to have like a super cool apartment. I'm going to have a great job. I'm going to have like this dog that like, I'm going to have a dog and all I need to do is go on walks with it and go to like yoga class and feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
And then none of that happened. But I pictured it like a movie. Like I was this like heroine in the movie of just like, she's nice and simple, but you know, mm-hmm. I don't know what the climate, you know, what the plot would be, but I just saw it so much like a movie.
Yeah.
And I see like slideshows or scenes of, you know, in my mind, like exactly how it would be in a movie. And then you wake up to reality.
Right.
And that's why I like my happy place is going to the movies because it's okay. like my escape.
Nice.
I don't do drugs. I don't drink super often. Mm-hmm. Going to the movies is my own little high. It's nice. Like you go to this room that like feels so cut off from the rest of the world and you experience right. other worlds and lives and imaginations and things look so heightened and cinematic, and it's like, yes. And so when I'm in the movies, it's like, I love long movies. Some people will be like, oh, it's like a 2.5-hour movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wish it was 8.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to go back outside to my real life.
That's funny. I was recently on a flight mid, like, awful depression. I went home for Christmas. For some reason, seeing my family made me, like, really sad.
That happens to me.
So I was like, oh, they have kids and real jobs. I was like, should I have kids and a real job?
Yeah.
And then
how are you, older or younger?
I'm the youngest.
Okay, and then you're fine.
I have 3 older sisters.
Okay, then you don't have to worry about it right now.
Right, yeah.
You will soon, though. I'm just keeping your anxiety at bay, but okay. You will feel anxiety.
Okay.
Just not yet. You don't have to feel it yet. But think of me when you do.
I will.
And I warned you.
Will you marry me?
I have herpes.
Me too. Just kidding.
We're a perfect match.
I was on this flight thinking, this is super dark, but I was thinking, like, I hope this plane crashes. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I hope everyone dies so I can die. I'm an asshole.
Right.
So then I had guilt about that.
Of
yada,
course.
Yada, yada. We touched down and we had to wait like 40 minutes.
So then you just pulled the trigger on the grenade and just blew the thing up on your own.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I was like, yay, we're waiting. Like, I'm stuck in this plane. I can't do anything.
Yeah.
I was just like, I want to stay in this plane forever.
Yeah, like you don't want to act. That's. Planes always give you the illusion you're going somewhere way more special than you are.
Yeah.
Because it's such a like big thing. You're in this airplane. You're 30,000 feet above there. And then you end up in Utica, New York. Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, what? I was just on an airplane and now I'm
right.
here?
Yeah.
It should only take me to like movies. Like, it should only take you to somewhere that ends up like feeling like a movie.
Yeah, like Hawaii. Like, you step off a plane and there's the stairs that go off a plane.
Right.
You're greeted with
right.
a hula. What are they called?
A lay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then you just,
hula. I like that. That's, I would think they'd be called hulas. That makes sense.
There's the hula dance, right?
Yeah, hula dancers.
Hula hoops. Which forces you to do the hula dance.
That's true.
I think that's why they call it that.
That's true.
Hey, all right. We're making.
I want a choice in this matter. I want to do a hula hoop, but I don't want to be the dancing type.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a weird moment. But to relate to your movie thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to stay in that plane forever.
Absolutely. I feel that way a lot. The plane going down thing. Mm-hmm. I don't usually think I want the plane to go down, but I have gotten to the point in life where I'm like, whatever. If it goes down,
you welcome
I'm
death.
Into it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was on a flight with James Franco recently, and I kind of thought like, well, if the plane goes down, it'll be cool because it'll be like, oh, Kristen Carney died in a plane crash with James Franco. Like, at least it'd be a thing.
That's
like
funny.
If I did die in a plane crash, I would want it to have a celebrity on it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I almost got hit by an ice cream truck outside. Like, it ran a red light. And I was like, oh, that'd be a cute, that'd be a cute way to go.
Totally. On ice cream, there's music playing.
Yeah.
You know how that could actually be so dark? Like, you just laying there all bloody with this happy music playing?
Right.
Oh, my God.
That's a good, we should write a movie.
Yeah, that would be a good idea because I think
life,
we have the same vision.
Life is a movie.
It is.
And, yeah, life's a movie, and I played a guitar outside my girlfriend's window.
You did?
No, no.
Okay, thank God.
I was making a joke.
I was going to end the podcast.
I would never. No, no, no. I might have tried that in high school. But I was.
That's fine. You have a pass on that.
I was pretty practical about this breakup, trying to get her back.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I told myself I wouldn't try to get you back, but this is me trying to get you back. And I was like, it's rare to find someone you like.
Yeah.
And
it is so rare. That's why it's so devastating.
Yeah. She was crying and stuff. I was like, I know. And I was like, I can tell. This is before I told her I loved her. I was like, I can tell if we stayed together, we would fall in love. She was like, I know.
And she was crying?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was like, well, then let's do this.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't, Rye. I saw her last night, though.
Oh, she's the one that showed up at your comedy show.
Yeah.
But you're interested in another, like you see some prospect in this other girl, but then
I did.
This ex-girl showed up.
I knew she was coming. I didn't know why. She came alone. I was like, I wanted to be like, why do you want to see me?
Yeah.
Yeah, the that's fine. I'm getting over her. Lately,
Was it hard? Like, what were you doing to kind of cope? Because, I mean, as soon as you got here, you started talking about her, this yeah. girl, and then your ex. So obviously, it's like affecting you. How are you coping with it? Are you drinking more? Or are you sleeping more?
As soon as the breakup happened, I was like, all right, I can't drink when I'm sad. So I like took like
good.
8 days straight off, which is kind of long for me. then one day I was happy and it was with friends. They were like, let's get some beers. I was like, you know what? Okay, I'll get some beers. Then I got drunk and got super sad.
Yeah. I was after like this thing with this other guy, I was on a date with another guy who was not that guy. And I got drunk and just started bawling.
On the date?
On the date.
Ooh, nice. Mm-hmm.
I don't really know if I told him why.
Yeah.
Exactly. But he was just like, food, we need food. Like he was just trying to sober me up a little bit because I was just crying so hard.
Wow.
And yeah,
that's
those
funny.
Are moments you realize that you are
like
very
a,
sad.
That sounds like a movie scene.
It was totally a movie scene.
Yeah,
yeah. And actually, that specifically that place where we were at was very movie-ish. Like the look of it inside, it looked very like almost New York, like dark,
yep.
atmospheric. Yeah, it was very movie-ish.
But yeah, to get over my ex, I don't even know if I did anything good to get over her. I was just like, time will heal these wounds. I wrote some stand-up jokes about her that I have. That felt good to get laughs.
Yeah.
And I did it.
Did she hear them?
Yeah, I did it in front of her last night.
So comedy does feel therapeutic.
Oh, God, yeah. I get a huge rush out of doing stand-up. So with this past depression, my therapist assigned me to go skiing. Because I love skiing.
Whoa.
It's like my first passion.
Did she also offer to pay for it?
No.
Fucking expensive.
Yeah, I know. I went to Big Bear. It was like 90
She's
bucks.
Like, I want you to get a $1,000 massage. Yeah. I want you to go to, you know, wherever,
yeah.
skiing. And you know, there's a rental fee and you have to have skis if you don't,
yep.
you know, want to do the rental. And there's a day pass. And
if it puts you in debt, you'll just handle that stress afterwards.
Right. But you'll still be paying me at yeah. the same time.
Yeah. $150 bucks per 50 minutes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But I had a somewhat of a revelation while skiing. I was at Big Bear Mountain. There's barely any terrain to ski on, so I went to the terrain park, the jumps, which I used to do a lot as a kid. I still do. But the fear approaching a big jump,
mm-hmm.
the fear I felt before it, and then the peace midair.
Yes.
And then landing smoothly, I got such a fucking huge rush, which I've felt every time I go skiing if I do something, if I do a cool trick.
That sounded like such a metaphor for doing comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is, because like, whenever I do stand-up, it's the pure fear going into it.
Yeah.
Self-hate, fear, this is going to go wrong. Everything is going to become, you know, everything's going to crash down on me.
Uh-huh.
Then I do it. It goes well. I have that euphoric peace.
Yeah.
And then I leave and feel good, but then I go back to the low place again.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
just start all over again.
You go back to approaching the jump.
Yeah, it's like black. The black diamond is stand-up.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, if you can do it, you're skilled, but it's going to hurt if you fucking fall.
Right. That's what I thought after. And like, this is, you know how when football players celebrate afterwards, it's like all touchdowns. It's like, yeah, fuck yeah. That's how I feel after I do well on stage.
I hope you don't do that on stage.
Oh, no. Because
people
no.
will be like, we take back all our laughs.
Yeah.
We change our mind.
I keep it internal, but
yeah. sometimes. No, it's such a great feeling.
Sometimes I want to like push one of my stand-up friends and be like, you fucking see that,
yeah,
dude?
No, I know. I know. I've been there.
So I get the same feeling skiing.
Do you wait around for people to say good job, like for the audience to leave? I would do that occasionally and think I had a really good set and then no one really said anything. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck you guys. That was a good fucking set.
It's so funny. Like my first 2 years of stand-up, people usually didn't be like, hey, great job, man.
Yeah.
But now I'm like good at stand-up now. People are usually like, really funny.
Yeah.
But dude, I
don't. Does that feel good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't handle post-show interactions very well. So I do a monthly show at the Improv in Hollywood.
Is that on the main stage?
Or no, in the lab.
Okay. What's the show called?
It's called High Society.
Ooh.
For no good reason. I used to have a Vine series. Or just I did made Vines with the character. High Society.
Oh, I love him. So you were saying that you feel very not funny when you're depressed.
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
Usually like twice a year. I'll go through like 2 weeks of depression.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But
are you on medication now?
No, but I might get on some antidepressants just to like get me out of this rut.
Yeah.
I'm climbing out of it. I'm doing all right lately.
It's kind of like antidepressants. Oh, and by the way, so I on the show, I refer to sometimes my friend, resident consultant Jen. Mm-hmm. She the other day was making fun of me because I do so many metaphors. It's insane. And so I said it would be really funny if someone edited together all of the metaphors. I'm like, it's like this. It's like when you do this. It's like, I mean, there'd be like 1,000 of them. Yeah. But because I'm doing a metaphor right now, I had to state that. But I feel like with antidepressants, it can really just be you're in a, you know, you're depressed and you're in a, at the bottom of a dry well. Mm-hmm. And then an antidepressant is really like a rope.
Yeah.
That can help you pull yourself out of it.
Right.
But it's nothing more than that. It's mm-hmm. it's not like it's going to pull you out, hoist it on its shoulders and carry you for the rest of your life and right. things will be easy. You know, it's just like just a mode to get back to a normal place.
Right. That's what my therapist is yeah. saying. He's like, you might need want to go on FX or wherever the fuck.
That's what I was on.
It was like, just to get you out of this.
Yeah.
It's like, just to lift you out. Just like a rope.
That's what it
like,
did for me. I was yeah. on FXer for 5 years. I just went off recently for insurance reasons, but I was on it for 5 years and that's what it did. It just made me, it made things just easy enough. Like from yeah. like getting out of bed. I didn't want to do it, but I could do it. Okay. Whereas before, it's like I didn't want to do it, and I wouldn't do it.
This last depression I've had was the first time ever where I couldn't get out of bed. I have always my mentality. I always thought you should power through.
Yeah.
Like if you're sad, no, fucking get up and yeah. go to work.
I want to get a water bed so I have an excuse. I'm like I'm stuck in bed. Like I yeah. literally can't get out of this bed. I have no choice.
But yeah, in this last depression, I tried to get out of bed one day at like 2 p.m. I walked out here. And, like, it hurt.
Yeah.
I was like, and I looked so pathetic and sad, I'm sure, like, my greasy hair. I was just like, I can't do it. I went back to bed, and I saw my therapist soon afterwards for the first time. I was like, I spent all day in bed. And that's bad. She's like, no, that's good.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're able to stay in bed.
I was talking about that recently, how it is good.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
It's good?
Not all the time. Right. But every once in a while, you need that break.
And holy shit, I needed it. And there was one day where I went to bed at, like, 11 p.m., woke up at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Went for a 2-hour walk.
Wow. Well, that's good.
Just because I gotta go for a walk.
Yeah.
Listen to a podcast about depression. Did some crying on the walk.
Yeah.
Came back, went back to bed. I slept for like
sad man walking
24 hours.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to do it. You have no choice.
I reached that burnout.
Yeah. Well, like you described yourself coming out here and kind of looking like you're like a mess. Whenever I see antidepressant commercials on TV,
yeah.
the person's always like, laying on their couch, but their house is pristine. Yeah. Everything's in order. They look fine.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're just laying. And it's like, no. No one that depressed has an apartment or house that clean.
Right.
Nobody. There's going to be at least some Dorito crumb somewhere yeah. or, you know, donut sugar flakes somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate how they don't accurately represent. Obviously, they can't show a shit, you know, shithole on.
Right.
You know, but it's like, come on.
Yeah, be more realistic.
You're trying to sell shit. You're trying to sell medication to make money. At least get on our level.
Yeah.
Be like real with us.
And it's funny, my therapist, I keep on saying my therapist, but it's a new thing in my life. But my therapist did tell me like.
It's an LA requirement, by the
right?
way. You have to have a therapist if you live here.
Well, my therapist tells me.
Yeah.
But my therapist tells me, for real, she was like, sometimes it's okay to have your apartment match your mood.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if your apartment's messy, it might be okay.
Right.
It's like, so I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. My apartment is messy and it is how I feel inside. And she was like, then the weather in LA sucks because like, I'm sure you miss the rainy days in Boston. I was like, yes, I do. I wish it would be cloudy.
I know. It is hard. It's weird because there's the thing of the clouds making things worse.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a thing if you grew up in it, you crave it and it's a comfort.
Yeah.
And out here, Even at night, it's sunny here. Like, that's how sunny it is in LA. And I have those moments where it's like you want to be sad and on the couch, but you can't because the sun is shining.
Right.
And you're like, I'll be such a dick if I'm on this couch all day.
Right.
And there's this outside. But you never get that break here of just like, I mean, every in the wintertime, maybe every once in a while. It rained the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But you, it's like you want to have the excuse to be able to just lay.
Yeah.
And here you can't.
It's totally. And I love when it gets dark out. Especially if I'm depressed. I'm like, oh, it's dark out. I'm allowed to sit down now.
I know. Well, I really feel like I should only do this podcast at night because the energy is more depressed. Like in a, I feel better, but also it feels more apropos. Like this, we should be in the dark right now.
Right.
Actually, because you mentioned you like the Paul Gilmartin episode.
Yeah.
I don't know if we said this on the show, but when we started, there was natural light coming in. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the podcast, the sun had gone down and he and I were doing that podcast literally in the dark. Not one light was on. And it just was like so perfect for Paul.
That's
you
nice.
Know? Yeah. It was like, yeah, of course we're sitting in the absolute pitch dark. I think I lit up my phone to have a little something.
That's funny.
But
that's...
it did help the, you know, energy. It was like, we can get dark here because it is dark.
That was right on brand for you.
Super on brand.
There was one time, quick mini story. There was one time in college, I fell asleep and it was light out. And I like slept for 2 hours, didn't mean to. Woke up and it was dark. And I was
you're
the
like,
saddest person.
I
was like, what day is it? Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why am I so sad?
Well, when I first went away to college, I would take naps because that's what I do. And I would wake up and I'd be like, wait, where am I? Wait, wait, I'm not at my parents'. I'm hundreds of miles away from home. Where, but where? Like, what is this place? Who are you? To my, like, I would be like, and it would genuinely hit me for like, a full minute where it really took me, like, I had to really think about, like, wait a second, what year is it? Who am I? And it would be devastating.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I couldn't accept that, like, my life was now different.
Yeah. And also, naps can just be,
they're very
off,
confusing.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Like, if you take more than a 30 minute nap, I wake up just like more tired, which I've heard is pretty common.
Yeah. But. I can only take like 4 hour naps.
Wow.
I did try to do this thing to lessen the length of my naps where I was like, I'm just going to nap in really tight jeans. So I'm very uncomfortable the whole time and don't want to do this. But then I would just nap for a very long time, very uncomfortably.
Nice.
So it didn't work. Yeah.
That's
kind of a bummer.
Really tight jeans. I should try that.
We got to buy some. I mean, as a girl, I have a bunch.
Right.
You know,
those are pretty tight.
These are very tight.
You look pretty hip.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying. That's the problem. It's like, I want to be hip, but I don't want to be an asshole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a very fine line, and I try to walk it.
It's good.
Because I like fashion, and I like that kind of shit. I like makeup, although I'm not really wearing any right now. But I don't, again, like, want to be an asshole. And I'm also very sometimes jealous of the girls, like, on Instagram, like, being, like, posing with their fresh makeup, being like, and doing these, like, dramatic look downs with their eyelashes and then a look up to show. And I'm like, I just wish I could be that much of a fucking asshole.
Oh, right?
Oh, it would be so, it would just be freeing.
I can't bring myself to post a picture where I look sexy or like I'm making a sexy face.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah. If I'm feeling like a while ago, I was very lucky and got to go to the Emmy Awards, which was super fun and exciting. I'd always wanted to go to an award show. And I of course had to post a picture being there.
Mm-hmm.
And I took several of me in my gown with thumbs up. But I didn't. I was like, don't be an adult woman and just post a regular smiling picture, which is what I did.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I think that goes with our personality. It's like, we're very perceptive. We're very, when you're depressed, you're, and a comedian, especially, you're very perceptive. You're just constantly aware and it's hard to not be aware of yourself. Like you have self-awareness, which is hard to fight.
Yeah.
You know,
I have trouble being myself, like I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So like if I ever have a genuine moment with somebody, sometimes I can be actual genuine, but I'll put on a voice.
Yeah.
Like I saw a dude at the Comedy Store last night, and to one of our other friends was like, hey, me and Josh went to Fat Sal's the other day. We bonded.
Yeah.
Instead of saying like, hey, me and Josh went to Fat Sal's.
I know.
And we had fun together.
I get super uncomfortable with it. Well, I was just recently holding hands with my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to do this thing where I go in and I do it as like a gangster handshake at first.
What's that?
Like like a, hey brother, like kind of like, you know, a little, like a Fresh Prince hand, you know, like a choreographed thing. And he's like, no, you can just hold my hand. So funny. I get very, and I think it's because where I'm so, I think, you know, the type of, like I said, just the type of people we are, we're very aware. And it's not that we don't want to have those feelings and those intimate, beautiful moments. You just, they're so real and adult that it's like, oh, there's this, I always reference Seinfeld because I'm a massive Seinfeld, fan.
I got a Seinfeld painting right up there.
You do?
It's full of references.
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God. Oh my God. I have to take a picture of that before I go.
Ace Ventura too.
Oh, yep. And I love the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it's like ugly artwork, but it expresses the things I like.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's really cool.
In this Ace Ventura, that's the scene, the now extremely transphobic scene where he's like, Finkel's Einhorn Finkel.
Wait, Finkel's a man.
Finkel's a man.
And then he gets the thing from the toilet to plunge out his...
That movie is amazingly transphobic. Am I saying the right word there?
I don't know.
But it's all about like, ew, that dude became...
Yeah, I know. They couldn't do that now.
Yeah.
They couldn't do that now, but that's why the movie's fucking hilarious and a classic.
Alrighty then. I love Jim Carrey. He's my hero.
Oh, that's awesome.
I saw him once. I went to the Dumb and Dumber 2 premiere. Saw him.
Which was terrible.
Yeah, yeah. But
it was the worst movie. You did? Oh my God. I was like, I wish I didn't see that. It was like you're seeing me without makeup. Like, ew, no, you were good before. Put it back on. Like, go back to the first one. I was so disappointed that I saw it.
I saw him from a distance and I freaked out. Yeah. I just freaked out internally. I was like, told my friends, like, Jim Carrey's over there.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like if I met him, I would cry.
Probably. I feel like you would.
I'd be like, you helped me get through depression.
But he would get it. He's got the sad clown thing.
I had a moment where I really fell in love with him. I saw an interview with him where he said, like, I feel like most comedians have sad moms. I have a sad mom. My mom was very depressed, so I would do faces and impressions to cheer her up.
Oh, wow, so it's just like you.
I was like, I used to do impressions of you to cheer up my mom.
Yeah. See, that stuff, like, hopefully he's still human enough as a celebrity, which I think he is, to, like, really appreciate that.
I think he does.
Yeah. I think that would touch him.
I have some friends on the I'm Dying Up Here show, and I asked Andrew Santino, I asked him, like, I was like, is Jim Carrey insane? He was like, no, dude, he's just been famous. He's been fucking famous forever. Yeah. So, like, he's
That's a good Andrew Santino impression.
Was it?
Yes. No, dude. Talks.
Dude.
Not yes. Good. Oh, my God. Wow, that was really good.
Thanks. I should that should be me on that show. Just kidding. That's a horrible attitude.
I haven't watched it, and I can't watch things like that because they make me sad. Because it's like I want to be involved in it.
Right.
I have a really hard time watching. Before I got into comedy, I was obsessed. Oddly enough, it's a very strange thing to become very into, but I was really into the creative side of advertising.
Oh, cool.
And this is well before Mad Men. So my thing was like, I wanted to be a creative director at an agency. And because at the time I was like, well, I'm kind of funny. And how do I make a living being funny, but without being a comedian? Because I'm not funny enough to be a comedian. And I came upon like the copywriting, which is there's so many funny ad guys, you know, and ad women. So I was going into that. And then I decided to not go into that because I started doing stand up, which I found to be much more satisfying. But I still had a huge thing in my heart for advertising. And I read all, you know, like David Ogilvy, the father of advertising, I was like obsessed with him and reading books and stuff.
That's cool.
So when Mad Men came out and all of a sudden everyone was into it, I, even right now, like it gives me, my heart starts pounding harder.
Really?
Because it's like, no, I'm into advertising. Not you guys, because there's a cool TV show, and I've never watched one episode of that show. Because it's funny. Like, it's too close to
it's
home.
It's too close to you. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's the same with like, you know, that, A Dying Up Here and Crashing and, you know, all the shows about comedy. I just, it's like, I can't, it's too painful.
I haven't watched SNL in like 3 years. So I've submitted tapes to SNL.
Yeah.
And it's my dream.
Yeah. So it's just, it's too hard to.
And I didn't get close, but I was close enough to like, whoa, I'm in a position where producers from SNL are watching my tape.
Right.
And I got feedback. They're like, we think Rye's really funny. It's not gonna happen this year, but please have him send another tape next year.
Yeah.
So once I started sending the tapes, I couldn't watch anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they hired one of their writers to be a feature player, Mikey Day. I look just like Mikey Day.
Do you?
So now I'm like, I'm not ever going to be on SNL. Look him up. We look a lot alike.
But I'm sure you're way better than him. And so they'll compare him to you, not
one
you
of my
to him.
One of my friends told me recently, he was like, "Hey, congrats on SNL." I was like, "What?" He was like, "Yeah, you're on the show. You know, Mikey Day." And I was like, but just like made me really
heartbreaking.
Sad.
It's super heartbreaking. Yeah.
Not that I would ever actually get on SNL. Like it's like winning the lottery. But I felt close. I wasn't close, but I was like, like I said,
it's
like,
cool to be in the world.
They're
like,
seeing me?
Yeah.
They know I exist?
Yeah.
Even that was a dream come true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I made it.
Yeah.
I've almost cried. I've almost cried tears of joy in the past. I would daydream about meeting with Lorne Michaels, but like, you got the show. I can't do it. It's like, you're on the show. I would almost start crying tears of joy.
Yeah. Tears of joy are good.
They're good, yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
But,
good cry.
You know, lately it's been tears of just sorrow. Heartbreak.
That's why you're on this podcast.
Self-doubt.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
It's kind of a shitty one, but you're in it at least.
Yeah. You know what? I've always felt like my depression was validating. It's like, oh, I'm a real comedian.
Yeah.
Because I'm so sad. Because
you're sad. Well, when I meet non-sad comedians, I'm like, fuck you. You're not a real comedian.
Yeah, that's
Who
funny.
Are you? You're just good at business. Stop it. If you're not sad and you're a comedian, I literally do not trust you. It gives you a level of street cred
but,
in comedy.
But when it's happening, it's not fucking cool at all.
No. But anyway, let's get into the segments.
Sure.
And you, okay, so we're close to you having to leave because it's 2:18.
Oh, okay.
And did you say 2:40?
2:40.
Okay. All right.
That's fine.
So we're going to do a Who's Sadder.
All right.
And you pulled out one of the ones I was going to do while I was thinking on the way over here was, do you vape?
Do you vape, bro? I got addicted to nicotine with this fucking vape. I never even smoked cigarettes. I dated a girl who had one of these vapes, and I was like, oh, let me try it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it gives me a head buzz. Cool.
Well, it's so funny because on the way over here, I was thinking, well, I could do a Who's Sadder with people who vape or people who smoke cigarettes. And so it's just funny that I walked in and you had a vape because I usually don't see it.
Yeah.
And I don't even really know what vaping is.
Want to try it?
No. I want to stay on the nerd side of being straight edge.
That's a good... I think people who vapers are sadder because they're not smoking cigarettes.
Okay, because they want to be smoking cigarettes.
They're trying to quit.
But I feel like that's a better thing because they're trying to make progress, whereas smokers are like, fuck it. It's like let's have the plane go down. I'm just going to keep smoking.
But
it's like that mentality of like, it's over, whatever.
But
I'm throwing in the towel.
That's freeing.
So it
like,
is
fuck
freeing.
It. I'm going to smoke cigarettes.
It is freeing.
I used to romanticize like drinking. I used to smoke a cigarette here and there and being like drunk in New York doing stand up. Like, yeah, dude, I'm a fucking artist, dude. I'm getting shit. I'm abusing myself.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And that was with smoking?
Drinking beers, smoking butts with my buddies.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, dude, I'm going to stay up all night.
Are butts cigarettes or weed?
Cigarettes.
I'm a nerd. Okay.
Ripping butts.
What do you think about cigarette people being sad because they've been ousted? Like they can't be near buildings. It's like it's like they have the herpes of addictions.
Yeah.
It's like, don't come near here. You're not allowed here. You smell.
Right. The lonely life of a smoker.
Because it used to be a social thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's crazy that I'm old enough. When I had my first job ever was I was a hostess at a restaurant, which immediately killed enjoying eating out. women eating out women, and I'm just kidding. No. It immediately killed the experience because I saw how gross the kitchen was, and the servers were bitches and assholes, and managers were losers. And
you should just stop doing things in life.
I know I should. I'm very cynical. It's bad. Everything I see everything in such a negative way. But when I'm just saying, I can't believe I'm old enough because there was a smoking section.
Yeah,
and it was such a pain in the ass because. People would, I'd say smoking or non, and they'd say non. But then the server who is in the non-smoking section, but close to the smoking section, has gotten zero tables because everyone goes to it and it kind of smelled like smoke. So they'd be like, no, we don't want to sit here. So then that server would get mad at me for them not getting tables. Then they wouldn't make money. And then they'd be assholes to me. And I'm like, but I don't know what to do.
Right.
Because they don't want to sit there. I can't force them to sit there. But it's crazy. I was old enough to be around for a job when smoking was still happening in restaurants.
Yeah, around for a job. I'll be 34 in 6 days. So we're the same age.
Oh.
I clearly remember going to dinner with my parents and smoking or non.
Yeah.
But you were old enough to work during that.
I was 16.
So I must have been, wow. 16, well, damn.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be 35 in April. So
okay,
I'm like 2 years older than you, unfortunately.
Well, I'll be 30. We're a year.
We're a year, yeah.
34.
See, I just proved how bad. Speaking of that.
I can't believe I'm 34.
So I'm going to do a quick segue. Speaking of that, you guys just heard me say that I was 2 years older when I'm only one. I'm not that dumb. However, if you guys subscribe on Patreon, once I get to 200 subscribers on Patreon, I will post my SAT scores, which I have said I will never, I've vowed to myself, I will never tell anyone. But for money, I'll do it. So if you guys want to subscribe on Patreon to help me reveal my SAT scores, go to patreon.com/mentallychill.
Do it.
So vaping is a lesser version of smoking, but it's still bad for you, right?
Yeah. And there's like, there's not really any studies to
yet.
Because
it's so new.
I might have some cancer brewing in me.
Probably.
I hope so.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. It's like it's your airplane. You're going to go down.
Super down.
You're lucky.
Super down for death. Let's do it. Please, God. Oh, there is no God.
Okay. So for the who's sadder, so we have to pick a winner.
Okay.
We don't have to agree. We can both pick our own winners. So you think vapors are sadder?
I think my instincts tell me smokers, but I'm going to say vapors in that they're trying to quit smoking, and that's probably not fun.
Yeah. I would initially want to say vapors because it sounds lame. Mm-hmm. Vape. Like, I vape.
Yeah.
Like, shut the fuck up and smoke a cigarette, you pussy. So... but I do think smokers are sadder because they're not making the attempt to get better.
Okay.
And so I think they're in a worse place in life. Okay. So we'll agree to disagree, but congratulations, both of you guys are both sad.
Yeah.
Yay.
Vapors and smokers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so next segment, Freudian slips.
Okay.
So I'll say a word and you just reply with the first word that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Okay. Babies.
My niece, Madeline.
Toyota Corollas.
I just pictured a Toyota Corolla commercial. That's boring, though.
Yeah, you're boring. I thought you had depth. Your eyes look like there's depth behind them, but apparently not.
No, not smart.
Mountain Dew.
The 90s childhood. Getting gnarly.
Instagram models.
A girl I dated who was an asshole, but I dated her because she was hot.
Okay. Typical. Typical. Farts.
Uncomfortable family moments. My family never farted in front
really?
Of each other. Yeah.
Oh, we are such a farty family.
I don't even like the word fart. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's why I said it. Because as I typed down fart, I was like, this is aggressive, but I'm gonna go with it because I feel like it'll wake you up a little bit.
You know, as a little kid, before I was aware of like what farting was and how ashamed
I was,
I should
always
be
aware
to do
of
it,
what farting was.
I used to call them bottom burps, which is very accurate.
That's cute. That's adorable. That's
I came
adorable
with myself.
Yeah.
Because it is burping out of your bottom.
It is.
Bottom burps.
I call burping mouth farts.
Mouth farts. Same thing, yeah.
Mine's less pleasant yeah than yours.
Just fart it out of my mouth, kid.
Okay, next one. Peanuts.
Penis.
Thank you. That's what I was really hoping. Honestly, that's what I was hoping for. Mohawks.
Glenn Plake is a skier from the 90s.
Electric guitar.
Back to the Future.
Coat hanger.
Abortions.
Perfect. That's where I wanted that one to go to. Okay, this podcast.
Say it again.
This podcast.
Work. Not because I do a podcast.
I'm offended.
No, this doesn't feel like work, but it made me think of like, how's my podcast doing?
Right. It is work, and it does get stressful. Yeah,
it does.
It does. Okay, so that was Freudian slips.
Oh, it's over?
Like yeah, this. It was kind of short.
Oh, okay.
I
don't want this podcast to end.
I know, it's fun, right?
Man.
See? But you have to go. You have only a couple minutes.
Fucking meeting.
So, usually...
We can go 10 more minutes. I mean, do what you got to do.
Okay. I'll do what I'm going to do. So we'll do, since you said go a little bit longer, because usually I'll either do an FDAT shit segment, or I'll do a depression impression, which is like profiling someone with depression. Or anxiety or whatever, but I'll do both today.
Sweet.
Woohoo. So for FDAT shit, I was reading this article recently. I couldn't sleep. So you said you couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
Last night. I've been having a really, really, really hard time sleeping.
I was furious last night.
Furious.
I was angry.
Oh yeah. Cause of the girl situation. But I couldn't sleep. And so, all I do is just scroll and scroll through, Twitter and Instagram and then get more anxious and whatever. But while I was scrolling, I love the Twitter account for Mental Floss. Do you know that
Yeah, I've heard of it.
They just kind of like do interesting factoid type of posts and stuff.
Okay.
So I was scrolling and it gave a link to about how Sigmund Freud hated Americans and hated America.
Okay.
So he started out having an actual love for the U.S. Like he was very fascinated by it and very interested in it. And he was so uptight and so easily offended. So he didn't like Americans because he responded bad to food here. Like he had cramps or something, yeah. Like really bad cramps.
It's the gluten.
Yes. He was like, yes. He was like, I'm vegan. I'm gluten free. Yeah. Paleo, whatever. So it started kind of with bad food. I don't think it like poisoned him or anything.
Where is he from? What is he, German?
Austrian.
Austrian, oh.
But what's crazy, so they gave him, when he was coming over here, they gave him a $750 stipend, which in today's money, 20 grand.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Isn't that crazy? So then he was very upset because the bathrooms were far away.
From what?
From things. So it was like anytime he had to use the bathroom, he said he had to like walk down corridors and halls, and he's lucky he made it.
Oh, wow.
In time.
Sounds like Sigmund Freud had some irritable bowel syndrome. Yeah.
Just irritable syndrome in general. Yeah. Kind of short-tempered or something.
Jesus, chill, Freud.
He also, we treated things without like respect. He thought, and this is all back in the day when I assumed we were very respectful. Obviously, today he would have really, really hated us. And then another reason he hated the U.S. was because he thought we were savages. And
like in a good way? Like, yo, that's savage, like Logan Paul?
Yeah, he was super hip. Yeah, he had an Instagram account. Oh, and with the bathroom thing, it exacerbated his prostate trouble, so he blamed that on us. Lastly, he didn't like that people, without asking, just called him Sigmund and not Dr. Freud. So he thought we were savages.
Savage.
Way too informal and all of that.
Jeez.
Yeah. And it's funny, so resident consultant Jen, she is close to getting her doctorate to be like a doctor in psychology. And her dog's name is Sigmund.
Wait, this is an actual person?
Yeah, my friend Jen.
Okay.
From home.
Okay.
We're like besties.
Okay.
We've known each other for a long time. So she's getting her doctorate very soon. Mm-hmm. And she named her dog Sigmund. But Jen is very much a huge fan of the United States of America.
Well.
So Jen, I know you're listening. Sorry, but Siggy, he's an anti-American. So you and Paul need to kind of, her husband, they need to rename him or just get rid of him in general.
Jen, Paul, your dog's a Nazi.
Yes.
Put it down.
Total Nazi. And then, okay, so our last segment is a depression impression. And so this, I know nothing really about basketball, so I have no idea who these people are.
Okay.
You might know. Are you a sports guy?
A little bit.
Okay.
But wait, you said this is profiling someone?
Yeah, so two basketball players. So DeMar, do you know who DeMar DeRozan is from the Toronto Raptors?
No.
Okay. What about Kevin Love from the Cavaliers?
Nope.
Okay. So these dudes, they're not like household names apparently, but they both get paid like a lot of money. So the first dude I mentioned makes $28 million a year and Love makes $23 million a year. I'd marry either of them.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, the paycheck like that. So both of them recently opened up about depression and anxiety, which is very unlike, you know, I think both of them are African American, which is not accepted in the like black community really as much, the mental health things. It's like they, you know, a lot of people refer to it as like the white man's disease and stuff. So it's kind of like ballsy. So so DeRozan said on depression on Twitter that it gets the best of him. He said, a lot of people are ashamed to talk about it. Even myself, this is a lot. This must have not just been in one tweet because it's very long. He said, a lot of people are ashamed to talk about it, even myself, for a long time period. Part of why I'm such a quiet guy is because I didn't want to talk about it and I didn't want people to know what I was going through. It's not nothing I'm against or ashamed of now. At my age, I understand how many people go through it. Even if it's just somebody can look at it like, he goes through it and he's still out there being successful and doing this. So I'm okay with that. So so that's him. So he's depressed.
Okay.
B-ball player. And then Kevin Love talked about panic attacks, and it's a bit longer. So I'll just leave it really basically at that. He said they came out of nowhere. He had never had one before. He didn't know what it was. He said it felt as real as a broken hand or a sprained ankle. And since the day I had my first one, almost everything about the way I think about mental health has changed. Everything was spinning. My brain was trying to climb out of my head. The air felt thick and heavy. My mouth was like chalk. I remember our assistant coach yelling about something. I nodded but didn't hear a word he said. By that point, I was freaking out. When I got up to walk out of the huddle, I knew I couldn't re-enter the game. I literally physically couldn't. And I blurted out something like, "I'll be right back." And I ran back to the locker room. So basically, he like ran away from the game, which is pretty intense.
Yeah.
So those are my depression impressions.
Oh, damn. That's intense, love.
Totes.
Damn, son. Have you ever had a panic attack?
I'm definitely not a
normal.
You said when we started you got one. Or you get them. Did you say that?
I think I've had some mild ones recently, but I had a legit one once for sure. It was one in my life.
And what did it feel like? Was it very like physical, like you said? It's just like you feel it, you know it.
One of my good friends died in like a tragic accident. He fell off a porch.
Oh jeez.
The next day I woke up and just started fucking freaking out. I was at my mom's, hyperventilating, panicking. It's like my heart beating.
Yeah.
I just started hyperventilating. Yeah. And I just started thinking like, I got a girl pregnant, even though there was no evidence.
Yeah.
Just like, I had sex with a girl last month. She's pregnant.
Yeah. Oh, I've been there with the hypochondriac stuff.
Oh yeah.
Oh, totally. Where I'm freaked. I'm convinced. Like I was convinced I had AIDS after like getting my nose pierced.
That's funny.
Like the needle. And I was, you know, I felt run down and I was like, this is it. This is it. Yep. And then I'll do, you know, other things like go on Reddit, which is not a good idea if you're feeling freaked about something. Because basically you go on there and it's just everyone else being as freaked as you. And everyone's looking for comfort and to say like, no, you're fine. But there's no one saying that because it's everyone on there is only saying, I've got it. I know it. So it's not a healthy, it makes it way worse.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's 2:40 and I know you have a meeting. So I know.
I don't want to live life. No, I do. I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot to live for, and things are good. As hard as they'll feel, things are good for you. You're in a very good place in life.
Oh, thanks.
Obviously, I don't know the whole extent of it, right. But from an outsider's perspective, you have a lot of shit to offer the world.
Thank you.
Yeah. Not just poop shit, but like actual shit.
Oh.
So where can we find you and continue to watch all of your stuff?
You can find
me. Since Vine is no longer...
Yep, Vine's gone. Yeah. Everywhere on social media, I'm at Rydoon, D-O-O-N. And my favorite thing to do these days is skiing and stand-up. and also, I have a podcast called I'm Sorry Dad.
I love that title.
Thanks.
Love it.
That used to be my password for my first credit card.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
So I was like, sorry, Dad, I'm probably going to be calling you one day to help me out with this.
Mine was like, thank you, Daddy.
Thank you, Daddy.
Thank you for the money.
So yeah, it's called I'm Sorry, Dad. I host it with my buddy Brandon Calvillo, who is a dead viner as well.
Oh.
And it's just conversational.
Yeah.
No real topic.
Yeah.
But we have on some guests sometimes.
Cool.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
We're funny.
Yes. That's very important in podcasting.
Brandon's very cynical, and I'm more like, chill, dude. Let's keep it funny.
Yeah.
It's good balance.
Yeah, you need a balance.
So yeah.
Yin and yang.
At Rydoon, I'm sorry, Dad. And I don't know, just call me. My number is 555.
I hate that in movies how they still pull that.
I know, right?
It's like, come on, can't we just come up with like a designated number for movies to use that is no one's number?
Yeah, right.
But it doesn't sound so fake. Because I'll be like so into the movie and in the moment, and all of a sudden they're like 555. And I'm like, back to the reality.
Yep.
Shit, this is fake.
This
damn
isn't
it.
Real.
Right. Then I get depressed. Okay. Thank you for listening to the show and being amazing and hanging in there in life. So if you want to subscribe, please do that. Subscribing is better than just downloading individual episodes. Tell a friend about the show. But also if you want to support the show, please go to patreon.com/mentallychill and hit me up there.
And rate and review the podcast.
Yes, and rate and review. It's so important because then it pushes the podcast up and then more people get to see it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's like hoisting it on your shoulders by reviewing it. So please do that. And obviously only good ones. So thank you for listening. And thank you, Ry, for doing the show.
Thank you.
Or Ryan.
Right.
I feel like I have to say
Ryan. You know what? Call me Ry.
Okay.
We're close.
We made it to this point. We did. We earned it. Okay, so thank you for listening. And remember, guys, stay sad enough to listen, but not too sad. Bye.